You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. He is helping clients again this morning, but I spoke to him, and he will be back next week, which is something I'm looking forward to. For those of you that have been listening, sending in questions, sending in comments, and telling your friends, thank you so much. We've been informed that we've had a huge increase in listenership, and again, we thank you for that. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. We'll introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family. Now, got some questions for you. Do you spend the majority of your time in front of a laptop in artificial light, then drive home chatting on your Bluetooth before heating up your dinner in the microwave? You relax with your iPad, you're glancing at your flat-screen TV that's downloading the latest movie before setting the alarm on your phone and sleeping with it next to your head? Well, I know that I'm guilty of some of those. If you're doing some or all of these, how do you feel? Any headaches or ringings in your ear? Any lack of energy? Have you been putting on weight? Have you ever wondered if there's a connection? Well, our guest today, Jason Bodden-Smith, is with us to answer some of those questions and many more. Jason is an entrepreneur, author, and speaker who describes his teenage years as him being pretty much a full-fledged delinquent, but one who used his complaints about the world as a wake-up call that compelled a series of actions that led him to building multi-million dollar businesses and going on a journey of deep self-discovery and multidimensional adventures beyond his wildest dreams. Now, always on the cusp of a wave, Jason was the first in Australia to introduce field portable X-ray fluorescence analytical technology. Now, say that fast three times. Anyway, he introduced that into the mining industry in the 90s, and it had been touted that it was an impossible application, even by the manufacturer. Well, it's now found in many mine sites all around the world. Jason was a major force in clearing Sydney's waterways, raising awareness and removing lead, described as the silent killer, from Australia's schools, all of which led to enhancing the health and well-being of Australian families and their environment. Now, Jason has authored two books, Making Waves and the topic of our show today, In the Dark, New Ways to Avoid the Harmful Effects of Living in a Technologically Connected World. Now, I also have a special co-host who has joined us, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. His name is Mike Boyd. Mike is a renowned singer and songwriter who writes numerous styles of music, and his message music has been changing the lives of adults and children that it reaches with a positive, uplifting message. Now, Mike is a motivational speaker, he's an inspirational teacher, and he has wrote his signature song, I Stand For You, to bring his message of universal humanity to everyone. Now, some people call it a universal anthem. His number one hit single, American Soldier, Thank You, is playing on several hundred radio stations across the country and numerous internet stations worldwide. Now, Mike has toured the country with his show, A Trip Down Memory Lane, which is a tribute to Sam Cooke, and he's received numerous awards, including his own day was awarded to him by the mayor of his hometown. He received the Golden Star Halo Award for writing and composing, and he's had honors in the Billboard Songwriting Contest. Now, as a teenager, Mike was the number one high school pitcher in the South for 2 years and number three in the nation. He received hundreds of scholarship offers and was the number two round draft pick by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, more recently, Mike is responsible for the return of women's professional baseball, and he created the philosophy of Base All to spread the message of universality on the baseball field that flows to all of us in our everyday life. He has most recently created a new 6-player, 1-hour baseball game called Standstill Baseball, and is in the process of professionalizing it. Mike has dedicated his life and his energy to make this world a better place for all of us to live in. So, Mike, thank you for being here. And also, Jason, thank you for being here. We now have two people on opposite ends of the globe that are on the radio right now who have dedicated their life to make this world a better place for all of us. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. So, Jason, I was just realizing that because of the time difference, what time is it where you're at right now?
It's just after 6 a.m. tomorrow, your time. So Australia leads the world.
That's right. So now to start off with, let's talk a little bit about what I brought up in regards to the introduction. And I must admit, I'm as guilty as anybody from the standpoint of doing many of the things that you mentioned in regards to having all of my technology there. And I was surprised when I was reading more about you, and that one of the things was people setting the alarm and putting it next to their bed or fairly close to their head. And that's one of the things that I'm guilty of. So let's talk a little bit about this technology and how it's affecting us.
Alan, we're all guilty. Everyone I know uses their technology because it's so efficient, it's so wonderful, we all love it, we all embrace it, and all of us, including me, really don't know how bad it's affecting us. I was surprised. I'm a double degree scientist. I've been studying the impacts of the environment on human health my entire life. I started probably the biggest contaminated land consultancy company in Australia, where we have lots of health risk assessors. So I understand environmental risk. And when I started researching, I was shocked. I kept digging deeper and deeper. I'd pull out the original papers, check all the methodology. I could not believe what I was reading. And I was so surprised that this information hadn't really been talked about in the public arena. So two things have happened. The first thing that's happened is we've moved from an outdoor lifestyle. So over millions of years, we've evolved with the sun, with the natural resonance of the earth, and our bodies got used to all those frequencies. They're called electromagnetic frequencies, and the big broad spectrum that covers them all, from everything from the Schumann resonance of the earth right up to the cosmic radiation as we go out to space. So what happened is in the late 1800s, we invented electricity. And with that, over the last 100 years or so, we've moved indoors. We've moved under artificial light, and we've introduced an array of technologies. And in the last 20 or so years, those technologies have been based on wireless communication. That's your cell phone, your smart tablets, mm-hmm. all your smart meters, Wi-Fi routers, and a host of other gadgets that are coming on the market every day. Now, these frequencies they use are artificial. They're man-made. And our body has never been exposed to them before. So they were released really without thinking about their impact on biology. And over the last 20 years, even longer, they've showed that these technologies, these frequencies from modern technologies, are causing havoc on our biology. And we can go into great detail if you want to, but I think there's probably other things we want to talk about.
Well, Jason, one of the things that I want to talk about is that over the years, I can remember various times in which somebody has come out with a report to say that it is bad for us. And it seems to get hidden, or it seems to just kind of go away. Something else comes out in the news. All of a sudden, you know, whatever the Kardashians are doing seems to be more important, and the news isn't talking about it anymore. We have a question that was emailed into us, and it may touch directly on that. This email came in that reads, I believe EMFs create anxiety in people, and nothing is being done about it by government because Big Pharma donates heavily to politicians. What is your thoughts on this?
There's lots of evidence that these artificial electromagnetic frequencies cause anxiety, depression, and some even say lead to suicide. Now, that's a big statement, but there's numerous studies. You can type them into PubMed, which is a library of all the science and medical studies done, and you can see that. In terms of a cover-up, it's a big statement. I actually think engineers were given the brief on how do we send these signals remotely, and they just focused on how efficient, how cost-effective they could do it, and they were never told to think about biology. Now we're seeing all these effects. We need to go back and look at it from a biological point of view, and it's starting to happen. I don't like delving into conspiracy theories, but there is lots of evidence that industry and or government have purposely underplayed the science showing there's an effect. And in my book, In the Dark, I go through all those examples, particularly with cell phones. And when you compare, like a guy called Dr. Lay from Washington University put together about 1,000 studies, he separated them out. Are they industry funded or not? And he basically found that 75% of the studies that were funded by industry showed there were no effect, and the ones that weren't funded by industry, around 70% showed there were an effect. So separating them out based on funding, it's clear that the non-industry funded studies showed there was more of an effect. It's quite a complex issue. It gets very difficult from an epidemiological point of view to show clear evidence. Like, even smoking was never clearly shown to cause lung cancer. There was an association, and when you took away all the cofactors, there was a clear link. And the similar thing is happening with artificial EMFs. And, you know, my concern is we're addicted. All of us are addicted to this technology. And I know this show talks about addiction a little bit. And what does an addict have to do to solve his problem? They have to admit they're addicted. We have to admit this is a problem. And I think once we do, I think we've got these smarts to work out a way to use safely. So I'm calling for safe technology. I'm not going to give up my smartphone. I'm not going to give up using my computer. We're using technology now to communicate across the world. We're not going to give it up. We just need to make it safe.
And that makes perfect sense. Now, as someone, as I discussed in the introduction, you have multiple businesses and multiple businesses that are doing a lot of great things. What inspired you to write the book, In the Dark, and how did you find the time?
What happened, my biology, my health deteriorated as I went from, in my early 20s, being in the field. I was going out in the field, taking samples, and then only coming back into the office to write the reports. But as you get, company gets bigger, you become a manager, you become an executive, and then a CEO, and all you do is spend your time indoors because you're managing projects, managing staff, dealing with clients, and it's always indoors. And my health deteriorated. I got really fat. I mean, I was obese. I was, in Australian language, about 145 kilos. That's well over 300 pounds. And my health gradually deteriorated more and more and more, and I got diagnosed with what's called metabolic disease, which is a combination of high blood pressure, poor insulin, nearly diabetic, not quite, other issues in relation to low testosterone and a few other symptoms. And when I did all the traditional things of exercise and diet, nothing changed. My hormone panel was the same. My weight didn't drop much. And I researched long and hard into there's got to be another reason. And one day I was down the beach early morning, kind of meditating, going, what's the link? And I got this inspiration that why isn't physics and biology talked in the same sentence? We talk about biochemistry every day, but we never talk about biophysics. Mm-hmm. And that led me down the path of studying how biology is looked at from a physics point of view. So we talk electrons and protons instead of fats and carbohydrates. And I did a lot of research and I found a guy called Dr. Jack Cruz, an amazing guy who had very similar symptoms to me and cured himself by just reconnecting back to nature. That's all he did. So I took the same protocols, and within 12 months, all my symptoms have reversed. Now, I'm still a little bit overweight, but that's coming down. It was amazing. So we learned about a whole host of information that I didn't know, things like we have two forms of DNA. What? I was never told we had two forms of DNA. I thought we just had one, the DNA double helix, the genome, as we call it. Mm-hmm. But we now know we have two, the second one being mitochondria. Mitochondrial DNA is totally different to the genomic DNA. First of all, you only get it from your mother, not from both parents. And new research, by mainly coming out of the University of Philadelphia, Dr. Doug Wallace, unbelievable research. I think he will get a Nobel Peace Prize for his work. He's now coming out and saying 80% of all modern disease are related to mitochondrial health, not the genetics that we've been studying and spending billions of dollars trying to work out a cure for.
And
it's,
you know,
a big revelation.
Yeah, and that's actually, we're getting an instant message coming across. It was interesting that you were talking about that, and the instant message coming across goes right into that same subject. And this one reads, it says, I listened to several YouTube videos you appeared in and enjoyed your presentations. So much so, I ordered the book after reading more about you on Alan's site. I was hoping you would share the topic of mitochondria that you spoke about in one of your videos, as it apparently is something that we hear virtually nothing about, and yet it seems to be the most important, powerful energy influence in the health of our bodies and minds. And why do you think that we are not hearing about this? You know, why is this not being sent out to the public? And this one says, thanks from Greg in New York City.
Greg, great question. And thanks. The reason it's not being talked about as much as it should be, and it is being talked about more and more and will be, is once you understand mitochondria, you need to understand energy. And we're all energy. A lot of people really take energy for granted. And I think we've all been in a blackout when the electricity just stops. Everything just ceases. You can't drive because the traffic's chaos. You can't cook any food for your kids. You can't see anything. Energy is everything. And when it comes to our body, mitochondria are the energy cell. That's where all our energy is produced. Now, I don't want to go into great detail on how it works because we'll be here all day. But the key thing about mitochondria and what Dr. Wallace is telling us is this word called heteroplasmy. Now, heteroplasmy is, in a very simple form, is the number of mutant mitochondria. So mitochondria that are dying or don't work in your body. And he's showing that heteroplasmy is a natural occurrence. So every 10 years, we lose about 10% of the mitochondrial's ability to produce energy. But what happens when we introduce foreign things like artificial light, like all this technology, driven by radio frequencies, microwaves, we upset the mitochondria and we get more and more heteroplasmy. Now, these heteroplasmy rates, as they increase, you get different forms of diseases. So imagine your battery's 100% charge when your mitochondria is healthy. So you get to about 40% of the charge that's removed. So 40% heteroplasmic. You'll start getting mild diseases. Mild diseases might be the beginning of insulin. It may, like, the beginning of diabetes.
Right.
It could be you know, cancer not forming, but the cells starting to get a little bit unhealthy. Then as you get more and more heteroplasma, you'll start getting moderate disease. And then eventually, if you have more than 80%, you'll pretty much have a full-blown fatal disease and be dead. So when your mitochondria die, you have no energy, the lights are out, and it's all over. So we need to understand, how do we make healthy mitochondria? And the most empowering thing about this whole story, because it gets really fearful and people start going, oh no, what's going on? The most important thing about mitochondria is our health is now in our hands. Mm-hmm. It really relates to lifestyle. And if we connect to nature, we get a lot of morning sun. We get some UV, not too much. We don't want to sunbake in the middle of the day, particularly in Australia where it's extremely hot. We had a heat wave the last weekend. And we want to get good water, unfluoridated water, and minimize our exposure to technology as much as we can. And there's lots of ways we could talk about doing that. If we do those three things, then we will be healthy. So what does that mean? It means the drug companies don't sell as many drugs. The supplement industry, like all the alternative health people, don't sell as many supplements because we're getting the photons from the sun and the electrons from the earth by walking around barefoot. So they're upset. So now you've got both the pharmaceutical industry and the alternative health community not happy about knowing about mitochondria because they're not selling as many products. So that's one reason you don't hear about it.
Right, and they obviously haven't figured out a way to monetize sunlight, or they would probably share more of this stuff with us.
Well, they did the opposite, right?
Exactly.
Like, I live in a sunburnt country. Like, Australia gets more sun than most countries, and we've demonized the sun in Australia. Absolutely demonized it. And it really upsets me because if you look back through history, just go to the Sphinx, go to Egypt. What does the Sphinx do? It's pointed east for the morning sun, and it's got all four paws grounded in the earth. They were telling us something. These Egyptian guys knew what was going on, and we've demonized it. It was used for heliotherapy, which is a technique for using sun as a healing device. It cured TB, it cured rickets, it cured a whole host of diseases back in the 1930s and was really popular. And then all of a sudden, pharmaceutical industry came along, particularly after World War II, and said, ah, right, we've got to do something about the sun. So now we have to wear sunscreen. We're not supposed to go outside. Got to wear sunglasses. We've lost that connection, and we live indoors. And that's one of the big reasons we're so sick as a society.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break right now. For everybody out there, kick off your shoes, go walk in some soil, and get a little bit of sun. And instead of us taking a normal, like, 1 minute break to hear a commercial, we're going to take about a 3 minute break, and we're going to hear the song "American Soldier, Thank You."
Soldier, don't you know that we all love you? In the skies, I say, oh Lord, hear my plea. Please take care of our boys, 'cause they are in harm's way. And that's why we're free today. I say, American soldier, thank you for all the things you do. American soldier, don't you know that we all love you? American soldier, thank you for all the things you do. American soldier, don't you know that we all love you?
All right, we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. That was American Soldier by our guest co-host, Mike Boyd. And again, our topic today, we're talking about the technology, and we're talking about the effects that it's having on us and how bits and pieces have been given to us over a period of time. But for some reason, it doesn't take, media is not taking it and really listening and talking about it enough so that we can get people going. So fortunately, our guest today has written the book, In the Dark, which talks exactly about this subject and how it's affecting us. So, Jason, let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that we can do. We just need to get more sunshine. We need to get back to the earth. What are some other things that we can do so, you know, disease doesn't have a pathway to us?
One way to kind of get the whole message is to understand your personal EMF hygiene. So let's think of it as good EMFs, which come from natural sources. We talked about the sun, and we talked the importance of barefoot grounding. I can't underestimate both of those things. Very, very important. Barefoot grounding is just walking in the park or along the beach with no shoes and sunlight. As soon as you get up in the morning, if you could spend 30 minutes outdoors in the morning sun, with no glasses, you can't sit behind a window, it has to be outside. Ideally, as least close as you can, because your skin is a solar panel. And I won't go through all the science on how vitamin D is created and all this surface biochemistry actually dictate all the internal biochemistry signaling you get that leads to healthy mitochondria. So outdoor, early morning, you need some vitamin D, which really doesn't come up, depending where you're living, to about 10 o'clock in the morning. It has to be above a 30-degree angle, the sun to the earth. So you only need 10, 20 minutes. It depends on your skin type, how much you weigh, where you live. There's all these different factors. And there's a fantastic program called D-Minder, M-I-N-D-E-R, which is an app that you can put on your phone. Exactly right. Everything's relating back to technology. Now, you can use technology. So let's go into that. But I'll just finish with light.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with light, and my concern for Mike and the music industry, and maybe we can use them as an example,
They
live the absolute worst life for EMF.
Yeah.
They work at night. They work under all these artificial lights. They surround themselves with all these electronic equipment that give off magnetic energy. It's not just the radio frequencies you use for wireless. There's also big concerns about magnetic fields coming off amps and other electronic equipment. And they ruin their circadian biology, which is really important for sleep. And I'm not surprised at all that the music industry is probably one of the biggest industries for anxiety, depression, and eventually, you know, drug overdoses and potentially suicide. There is a definite link about all this, and I don't know anyone who's researched it. So maybe Mike and his friends can look at this as a potential issue. It's really, really important for the music industry. So how do we bring it back into our personal life? So at night, when you're watching TV or on the computer screen, we need to block the blue light spectrum. Now, blue light occurs in sunlight, but it's balanced with red light and a full natural spectrum. Unfortunately, all our lights, including the LED artificial lights, give off a blue light, which sits in the 500 to 550 nanometer range, which ruins our circadian biology. So it keeps us awake. So the worst thing you want to do is take your phone to bed, Alan, and start checking your emails and surfing the internet, because as you're watching that light on the screen, you're telling your body it's still daylight. Mm. So you have all these cortisol levels in your blood, which are supposed to be low at night, rising up, and you're going to struggle to go to sleep. It's one of the reasons we have chronic insomnia on the planet today, is we're just having too much blue light at night. So what you need to do is wear blue blocking glasses. You can get them on Amazon. They cost about $15-$10 US. They're called UVEX, are the cheaper ones. And you can, if I actually wear them when I go out at night, so I wear sunglasses at night, not during the day, because you don't wear sunglasses during the day because you're blocking all those wonderful UV and IR rays that you need to get your biochemistry right. So we're doing it back to front. So you can get blue blocking glasses for night, and you definitely want to make sure you have no screen time 2 hours before you go to bed. That's really important. Now, that's...
In the process, there's been so many questions I've had over the length of your talking. So a lot of them at this point I've forgotten, but I'd like to try to relate this a little bit to what I do outside of entertainment, which is what we were talking about with baseball, with teaching the kids and things like this. I noticed when I first started teaching back in the 80s, the kids were a lot more lightheaded. They were more energetic. They wanted to play more. This type of thing. I've found out now that I've taught through the 90s and the 2000s that kids have gotten a lot more distracted. Their attitudes have gotten a lot more, let's not say bad, but intense. Their conversations and things are not what I consider kid conversations to be. I agree with a lot of technology. I agree with a lot of what it's brought to the world. But on the other side of it, it's almost the Antichrist in the fact of the negativities that it brings. You were talking about how it affects the biology of the physical body. When I first started using cell phones and things like that, I'd get headaches. I didn't know whether it was the heat or this type of thing, but I'd get headaches for no reason. I've had kids come to the ball fields who were distracted because their eyes were hurting. You know, they had bells ringing in their ears, this type of thing. Is there anyone or anybody that is working on this situation to actually find out how bad the situation is, not only, you know, on adults, but on the children, because they're the future? And if this and a lot of things that you're saying come to true fruition, this could be a messed up situation for the future for adults.
Mark, it's already been done. The research is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem we have is that the researchers are struggling to get funding from government and definitely aren't getting any funding from industry. So the way science is done today is really compromised. If you're not researching for a new drug or doing something that has a profit at the end, it's very hard to get money these days. And governments, unfortunately, are in a double bind. We've signed off, every country in the UN has signed off for what's called smart cities, where we're rolling out the smart meters are going on our house, we're putting it into a smart grid, and all that is run by these radio frequencies and microwaves. So even though they may be concerned, they've signed off on an international treaty and they're in a double bind. And how they're going to deal with it is going to be difficult for them, and it's going to be up to us to make a stand. Now, what you're seeing is very common. Right. And, Mike, I'm really glad you're getting these guys outside and playing ball. I can't tell you how important that is for those kids to be outside again rather than inside playing computer games. So congratulations to you. You probably don't realize how much benefit you're having for these kids. But all those symptoms you talked about, it's called tinnitus, the ringing in your ear, that high-pitched pinging, ringing bells, as you called it.
Right.
It's a very common symptom for what they call the beginning of electromagnetic hypersensitive syndrome.
Right.
You're going to see more and more people come down with these symptoms and eventual diseases where they can't even be near technologies because it's so painful for them, especially with the rollout of 5G, which is coming out over the next couple of years.
Then my next question would be, is there anything as the public that we can do in the concept of, let's say, uniting against the situation that's out there to try to get betterment? Is there anything we can do in the concept of talking to the companies themselves that are making these things to get more information out, even prior to putting out the product, that people could study, that they could make a decision on, well, I may need a cell phone, but I don't need cancer in my ears, you know?
Mike, you're going to be my new best friend. There is a number of people across different countries who have become very concerned about this. You have mothers whose children have died from tumors, glioma tumors in their children's head from using cell phones. Mm-hmm. And if you speak to a neurosurgeon rather than, you know, a telco, the neurosurgeon's going to say, yeah, we're getting an increase in all these tumors and brain cancers exactly where the phones are used.
Right.
So it's an alarming thing that's going on.
So those people have
started different organizations. So what I've decided to do is actually give up one of my companies to focus on this as a full-time job because I think the message needs to get out.
Right.
And I'm starting a new venture called emfwarriors.com. Mm-hmm. It'll go live soon. The main purpose is education. So we will have a portal, a new online learning portal, fantastic new technology that's coming out, where we're putting all these studies, all the experts, all the solutions on one platform so people can learn about it. And then we're going to launch different campaigns, particularly things like testing. You can test for these fields using fairly cheap meters, around $200 for a Cornet, which is a tri-field meter that tests the three different electric energies that are going to occur in your home. Because it's invisible, right? We can't see it. We can't feel it unless we're symptomatic.
Right.
So we have to measure it. So there's different things we're going to do through emfwarriors.com. I don't know how global we can make it. It's just an idea I had because, Mike, I'm feeling exactly like you're feeling. We need to do something. We need to get together. I actually really think the mothers... There's not a fiercer person on this planet than an angry mother with a problem in their child.
Exactly.
Now, they're more fierce than a lion.
Exactly.
And I think they're going to get behind behind this issue. And eventually, they're going to listen and develop safe technology.
Well, in what ways? Okay, we're public, mm-hmm. and we're not necessarily united unless there is a universal message that would tie everyone together for a common cause. And this cause comes down to one for us, the United States, for you, Australia. But in the concept, this is worldwide and could be a catastrophe far beyond belief in coming years. So,
some people are calling it the sixth extinction event. That's how concerned some scientists are.
I'm
not going that far, but it really, really is a massive problem, and we need to become united to take it on.
That was my question. My question would be then, in physicality, would that be people starting to contact each other, starting a concept to contact each other across the internet? Or I've seen in the last couple of years, I've seen it's got to be around the world 200 marches of people about whatever situation that's negative out there. It seems to me that this is something that people need to start to get together on as a force, and also get into the streets about the companies being more honest, less greedy, so that the public itself can at least be as safe as it can possibly be in using these things. So would that be a feasible way to start to get people together and to get them more united and more aware of this situation?
Yeah, there's definitely one way. My preference is to start at home.
Right.
All good things start at home.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at our home environment first.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Wi-Fi router? Mm-hmm. If so, do you really need it? Can't we internet, can't we cable, like use Ethernet cables
right.
or different, and hardwire everything? Of course we can. That's what I do at my house. That's how we do it. So I don't need a Wi-Fi router. So that gets rid of one of the problems. Then we have meters and we go around, let's check our electricity system and to see if there's any faulty wiring, because they give off different dirty electricity fields. Then we can look at things like our plasma and LED TVs. You'd be surprised on how many fields the TV gives off. And then when we identify what's in our house, we can take mitigation measures.
Mm-hmm.
Like the TV answer, maybe just stand away from the TV because it drops off really quickly. Magnetic and electrical energy has this inverse square law. So you double the distance, you're half the exposure. It's different with wireless. Radio frequencies and microwaves can travel a long, long distance and penetrate through many different materials. So the biggest issue we can't deal with is cell towers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one issue that we need to do outside of the home. But if we start at home, then we go, okay, this is happening at home. We can address it. Well, haven't we all got Wi-Fi at schools?
Mm-hmm.
And aren't we always using a laptop at schools now?
That's
well, what's going on there? So you'll find people will go into the community and maybe start at childcare centres and schools and start getting the teachers interested. Now, they're probably all gagged and not told to talk about it. And I'm so concerned about schools because in my state, New South Wales, the government has just insisted on defibrillators being put in schools. So why are all these teenagers and primary school children suffering from heart palpitations?
Right.
Why do we need defibrillators in schools? Sure. Well, the answer is pretty clear to me, but they haven't put two and two together. So hopefully taking local action first, having a portal like emfwarriors.com with this online education platform. I'm not sure where it's going to go, Mike and Alan, but I'm going to let the community decide where to take EMF Warriors. I'm putting most of my time, and I'm paying for it all through my resources. I want to give back. I think this is important that I'm stopping my kind of business life to do this for the next couple of years to at least get it rolling, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Well, Jason, first and foremost, I just want to acknowledge you and thank you for what it is that you're doing, because you're doing something that is going to benefit everybody.
That's right.
So that's the first point. For everybody out there with amfwarriors.com, go to it, check it out. Jason, as soon as it's more vital, more vibrant, and you have everything going with it, I'd love to have you come back on so that we can talk about it some more. And I think,
sure.
But before we go,
I'd love to help.
Yeah, and short of everybody going out and making tinfoil hats and wearing them on our head, is there anything out there that we can do? Because I was thinking exactly when you were talking about the schools. We're sitting here in an office right now, and although we're looking out at the beautiful mountains on a clear day, we have fluorescent lights above us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in the schools. Now, in our home, mm-hmm. we can make certain changes, but everywhere else in which we go, where most people do work in a building, most kids go to school in a building, is there something else that we can do individually to start making a difference for ourselves and our own children?
The number one thing I want you all to do that are listening tonight is make your sleeping area a sanctuary. So you've got to get rid of all electronics, no TVs, no alarm clocks. And anyone who brings an iPhone or iPad into the bedroom needs to go without food for a week. I mean, it's really that important that we don't take our gadgets to bed with us. Some people put it under their bloody pillow. Like, stupid. Leave them outside. Don't take them inside. If we get our sleep sanctuary right, at least we're giving our body a good 8 hours free from exposure to these fields. The other thing you need to do is get the good EMF. So the more bad EMF you have, the more good EMF you need to balance out the equation. So you've got to get outside, play ball with Mike, take the kids for a walk, no sunglasses, no sunscreen, don't do it in the middle of the day, don't get sunburnt, and you'll go a long way to keep your mitochondria healthy.
Well, Jason, again, thank you so much. And again, for everybody out there, the book is called In the Dark. I highly recommend that you get it, you read it, and read it with your kids. Let them understand that as the next generation, they need to be aware of this as well. So again, Jason, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, thank you for listening. We're going to shift gears for just a moment because, again, as you know, as I introduced Mike, I want to talk a little bit about what it is that he's doing, which is helping because it's also getting kids outside. It is bringing in the vitamin D that we all need. Mike, tell us a little bit about, and we've got about a minute, I'm afraid.
Okay.
A little bit about the songs and where people can find them and how they can help promote this.
You got it. I'll be real quick here. I want to say hello to everybody. Thank you so much for having me on today, Alan. I really appreciate it. A little bit about American Soldier. I wrote it because, one, I love my country more than anything except my wife and family. I love my country. And I want to stand up for my country. And there's so many people that were so willing to lay their lives down for me and for America that I felt that I need to stand up for them. And I'm asking everybody out there to do just that. Our soldiers and veterans need our love and they need our respect. Their lives are on the line and their lives are on the line for us. I've sang them all around the country for different organizations, things like that. American Soldier, thank you for all the things you do to be a Marine for our Marines and our Navies. You guys can follow me at Mike Magic Boyd. You can get in contact with me at Sing Boy Recordings at 818-512-2910 or 818-767-8812. Go to our website at singboy.com and you can pick up American Soldier, To Be a Marine, and several of my other songs, I Stand for You, my signature song, on CD Baby, on YouTube, on iTunes, and Spotify, and all the music stores worldwide. I want to thank everybody and all my love, and my message to everyone out there and the way I live my life is I stand for you. And if you need me, I'm going to be there.
That is great. And again, everybody, be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday, February 20th, when we are joined by Neil Brown, the author of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, Resolving the Power Struggle and Building Trust. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek only on LA Talk Radio.